Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So of course today we're celebrating a day called Mother's Day. And I was wondering, have you ever wondered about the history and the origins of Mother's Day, why it started, where it came from? So Mother's Day in the UK here has its origins back in the 16th century custom of Mothering Sunday. That was the original name, Mothering Sunday. And it always fell on the fourth Sunday of Lent. And that's three Sundays before Easter, and ties in with the church calendar, and that is why the date changes every single year as when Mother's Day is. And the tradition back then was that you paid your mother church a visit. Either the church you were christened in, your local parish church, or the nearest cathedral, you went to your mother church. And you were said to be going a mothering when you did so. And on this day, which has become known as Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, servants were given the day off work to go back to the parish, in which they were born, and with children and other family members also joining in. And because this occasion was such a rare opportunity for a family to get together, the focus of the day then gradually shifted from visiting not just the mother's church, but to one's own mum. And on the way to church, people gathered wildflowers to leave in the church and to present them to their own mums when they went to visit their mums. And although the day fell during Lent, the austerity was relaxed for Mothering Sunday, and people treated their mothers to edible gifts, such as simnel cake, mothering buns, or fig pie. So put your hand up, ladies, if you received a fig pie today for Mother's Day. And it's certainly true that no nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of the next generation. And one popular poem written almost 150 years ago contains this line. It says, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And actually, I would change it a little bit to say that actually the hand that rocks the cradle is usually attached to a mum who isn't getting enough sleep. So today we want to honour mums. We applaud not only your efforts, but who you are. Having said that, some of you were probably tempted to not turn up or tune in to this service today. Why? Because your mum is no longer here and you really miss her. Or maybe you have a rough relationship with your mum and you struggle with all those syrupy sentiments that are in Hallmark cards. Some of you may have a mother who is very sick and you wonder how much longer she's going to be here with you. Maybe you're a single dad and you hurt for your kids as you watch them struggle. A number of you have experienced the devastating loss of a child. I know there are women here or watching online who would give anything just to have a child. Others of you are grieving the direction of your prodigal child, grieving the direction that they're taking. Many mums are gripped with guilt and swimming in shame because they think they're not doing a good enough job. Some of you mums are flying solo as you work hard to nurture your child's faith without the support of a child's dad. Regardless though of what kinds of feelings get stirred up on Mother's Day, please keep listening because we're going to discover today some truths which will apply to each of us individually. And let me be quick to say and remind you this morning, if you're not married or you don't have children, let me remind you that you are not in any way inferior. Womanhood is not only about marriage and children. Your worth as a woman goes far beyond your marital status or whether you have children or not. And I read an article when I was preparing for this message and it helped me greatly. It's called An Open Letter to Pastors. A non-mum speaks about Mother's Day, and it was really helpful as I was preparing for this message. And here's part of what the author wrote in this article. "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badges of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster mums, mentor mums, and spiritual mums, we need you. To those who have a warm and close relationship with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mums this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way that you longed for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisage lavishing love on your grandchildren, that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. So all that in mind, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And then after I had prepared this, Elizabeth told me this is what Flourish are actually studying month by month as they gather Proverbs 31. So let me give you some background, though, to help us understand this text in Proverbs 31 a little bit better. See, the book of Proverbs helps us to grow in wisdom. And throughout Proverbs, wisdom is often personified as a woman. So it's fitting that the book ends by celebrating the hard-working, worshipping woman. And Proverbs 31, verses 10 through to 31, is actually an acrostic. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And beginning in verse 10 through to the end of the chapter, each of the 22 verses in there begins with a different letter of the alphabet. And this was common practice in wisdom poetry, and almost like Psalm 119, which has 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. And the reason they did this is because it made it much easier for people to memorize. The writer is remembering the mentoring his mum did for him. We see this right off in verse 1. It says, the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. See, the influence of a mum is beyond measure. In the first 9 verses, this mum tells her son to be morally pure in verse 3. Tells him not to drink alcohol in verse 4. Tells him in verses 8 to 9 to stand up for those who can't speak for themselves. And then beginning in verse 10, she tells him what to look for in a woman. And scripture celebrates work inside and outside the home. Some people have actually used this passage to chastise women who have jobs outside the home. And I don't read that passage like this in the slightest. I see this as a woman doing whatever it takes to help her family. And if that means working outside the home, then that should be celebrated. There's no way that you can take these verses and chastise women for working outside the home. The main point in this is not where a woman works, but whether or not her family is her priority. That is the main point in these verses. And this is a composite picture. Let me remind you, it is not a to-do list. It's not a to-do list. The writer is saying that from A to Z, the ideal woman will reflect these qualities. And the Life Application Bible says she may not be one woman at all. It may be a composite picture of ideal womanhood. And Jewish husbands and children recited this poem on Friday evenings. In some Jewish homes, this passage was read before Shabbat and began in order to honour the wife and mother who made all the meal preparations. And these words were designed to build up the worth of wives and to magnify mothers. So try and use them in any other way is totally wrong. It should be used to build up the worth of wives and magnify mothers. And I'm actually going to read from the New King James version of the Bible. So if you're reading the Bible on your iPhone or your iPad, you can easily just flick over to the New King James version. If you're reading it on a Samsung, I'm not too sure if you can get the Bible on that. Sorry. But Proverbs 31, reading from verses 10 through to 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honour are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. Amen. And verse 10 starts off by asking this question. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Do you know, it's really hard to estimate the worth of all the work that a woman does. In the website salary.com, it releases a study each year that shows a typical stay-at-home mum juggles how many hours, ladies? How many hours would you think a stay-at-home mum works per week? 80. I heard 80 there. Somebody said 300. That's pushing it a bit. Any advance on 80? 100 is pretty close. According to this website, salary.com, a woman juggles 106-hour work week if she's a stay-at-home mum. And some of her jobs include a chief financial officer, chief operating officer, logistics analyst, housekeeper, laundry manager, van driver, public school teacher, facilities manager, meeting event planner, kitchen manager, assistant athletics director, staff nurse, bookkeeper, physical therapy supervisor, nutrition director, consumer loan officer, fast food cook, server, conflicts manager, interior designer, and fundraising coordinator. Give some of these ladies a round of applause. So let me just say to you, how much do you think she should get paid for doing all of this work? What do you think that salaries.com website says that she should be getting paid? Somebody shout loud. 100,000 is not anywhere near close. Did you say 500,000? That's pretty close. Husbands, are you ready? £200,000 a year we should be paying our wives for being our staying-at-home mum, according to this website. But a mum who works outside of the home, how many hours do you think she then comes home and works in the house alongside her normal job, on average? The same. It's not the same. Don't push yourself up that much. Come on. Let's be realistic here, Fiona. 40 is pretty close. It's actually 58 hours that a mum would work in addition to her job when she comes back home. And that means that she would earn an additional £86,000 a year for the work that she does at home. Husbands, I hope you're sweating. And while it might be helpful to actually have a bit of fun and try and calculate how much a mother should be making, verse 10 actually indicates that it's impossible to put a monetary value on the wife of noble character. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And that word virtuous means moral strength and influence and refers to the strength of an army. It's what Boaz said about Ruth in Ruth chapter 3 verse 11 when he said, "For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." And that word worth speaks of price. And rubies were the most valuable of jewels, meaning that a woman is worth far more than the most expensive piece of jewellery ever made. And what makes a gem priceless is because it's rare. The main point here in this is that a good woman is not easy to find, but when she is found, she is of unimaginable worth. So in light of that Hebrew alphabet acrostic, let us use the first three letters of our alphabet as our outline for the rest of this message. And I think a wise woman practices her ABCs. She firstly, A, accomplishes a lot. Secondly, B, brings value to others. And then thirdly, C, cultivates inner beauty. So let's start with A, accomplishes a lot. Do you know, I heard a story about a primary school teacher who gave her class a 1 hour lesson on the property of magnets. And the very next day she came back and she gave her pupils a written test. And the first question on that test was simply this: "My name begins with an M, I have six letters and I pick things up. What am I?" And when the papers were then turned in, the teacher was surprised to find that almost 50% of the students answered with the word mother. Answered with the word mother. But let me tell you, mums do more than just pick things up. But sure, they do a lot of that, but they do more than just pick things up. And it's normally not just the children that they're picking things up after either. So let's look at our passage and see how hard this woman worked. So firstly, I see in this passage that she seeks the best. In verse 13, the word for seeks is also used for worship. So she worships while she works, and she's never ever settling for mediocrity. And secondly, she works willingly. This woman is willing to work and take delight in her duties, as seen in the last part of verse 13. It says there, and willingly works with her hands. And then in verse 17 it says she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the tasks. And in verse 22 we read that she makes tapestry. And in verse 24 she makes linen garments and sells them. And then in verse 27 she does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's not sleeping much. And in verse 15 it says she also rises while it's yet night. And in verse 18 it does not go out by night. And I want to especially give a shout out to those of you who are raising young children. Some of you are battling bedtimes and wondering when all the whining and crying every night is going to stop. And you're wondering when those normal sleeping patterns are ever going to come back. You're juggling schedules and you're running on emotional empty. If that's you, let's just take a moment right now in our service. I just want to clarify, all women can do this. Just close your eyes and get ready to receive from God. Can I just encourage you, ladies, take a deep breath and listen to these comforting words straight from God's word. From Isaiah 40, verse 11. It says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So I just pray today, ladies, that you know the sweet gentleness of the shepherd as you love all those little lambs in your life. And then thirdly, this mum lives on a mission. She provides for the poor. She is aware of the afflicted around her and shares what she has with them. In verse 20, it says she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This mum lives on mission, first in her home and then in our community. So firstly, the first thing we see about this mum in Proverbs here, in Proverbs 31, is she accomplishes a lot. Secondly, B, she brings value to others. Never once is this woman said to do anything just for herself. She seems to always be attentive to other people. And to help us remember, think of a woman's head with its different parts, its ears, mind, eyes and mouth. Her husband is pleased. Verse 12 says she brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She uses her ears to listen to his concerns. Her family needs are met. In verse 15, she says she provides food for her household. Verse 16 tells us that she buys a field in order to better feed her family. And in verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household. She engages her mind as she strategically follows a plan. And she makes sure that her servants are well cared for. Check out the last part of verse 15. It says, and a portion for her maid servants. Her eyes notice the needs of the servants, and she always makes sure that they are cared for. She speaks words of wisdom. A mother's tongue is to be tender and her words weighty, according to verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And you know, Campbell Morgan, who was a profound British preacher, whose four sons all became pastors, and they influenced millions with their sermons and with their writing. And in one day, when his youngest son, Howard, finished preaching, a reporter came and spoke to him, and he asked him this question. He said, since there are five pastors in your family, who is the greatest preacher? And the reporter was expecting him to say straight away, my dad. My dad is the greatest preacher in our house. But Howard surprised the reporter by saying, my mum, she's the greatest preacher. My mum is the greatest preacher. And she never preached a sermon in her life, but she preached to her children that she was the greatest preacher in her household. A wise woman knows her ABCs. First, she accomplishes a lot through her hands. Second, she brings value to others by using her head. And then finally, and most importantly, she cultivates her inner beauty with a holy heart. In fact, it's out of a holy heart that her head and her hands find their foundation. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's a wise woman who knows that true beauty comes from a holy heart. Her identity comes from an inner account with the Almighty God. The real issue is not her looks, but how she looks to God. And the word deceitful means a sham, and it's not the real you anyway. Do you know, I've always thought that if you wanted to bring down the Western economy and make it absolutely null and void, it's just to convince every single female on the planet that they are enough. That they don't need all the stuff that they're peddling every day to realise their worth and their beauty. That would bring down the whole economy. It would bring down the whole economy if women just realised how valuable and precious they are to God without all this other stuff coming alongside them. If you focus only on the outward, you'll just find it to be fleeting. It'll leave you feeling unsatisfactory and empty. In fact, true beauty comes from the inside, which lights up the outside. Essentially, we have two choices. We can fear how we look on the outside and spend all our time trying to make ourselves look better. Or we can fear God, which doesn't mean be scared of him, but just hold him in awe and respect and allow him to make us better on the inside. The real fear should be that we might displease God, not that we might displease someone else. And let me add one other thought. When a woman cultivates a holy heart that worships a holy God, they realise that their purpose is wrapped up in their identity as a daughter of the King. Not as a product of the environment around them, not as a product of social media or what the advertisers are telling us, but their value comes from being, and their identity comes from being a daughter of the King. And this reminds me of the main focus of the book of Esther, where we learn that our position is a platform for God's purposes. If you're a mum, being a mother is your primary mission and your ministry. Once your heart is holy, your head will be in the game and your hands will work heartily as unto the Lord. And the band can come back here as we start to wrap this up. Do you know, church, I believe that it's time today to give praise where it's due. It's time for us to honour all women today. Proverbs 31, verses 28 to 29 says this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And then verse 31 says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise in the gates. Church, let me remind you today that we are called to congratulate and celebrate the worth of women. If anybody ever championed women, it was Jesus. He championed women to the full. And it's the verses remind us that children and husbands are to publicly praise the woman in the life. And I've often wondered if the woman of Proverbs 31 is able to fully engage her heart, her head and her hands precisely because she receives praise from her husband and her children. Our words of thankfulness can help the women in our lives feel the worth that is theirs. And in the spirit of children rising and blessing their mums and husbands, provide an honour to their wives. I would like, if you're a lady here today, I'd like you to remain seated, and I want to ask every single man who's present to stand up. This is your moment, men. I don't want to hear you whispering. I don't want quiet voices. I want you to say it, and I want you to mean it, and I want you to say it loud. And we're talking to every single lady in this room, those watching online. I want to hear you repeat after me with a loud voice, saying that you're blessed and you're the best. So let me hear you. You're blessed and you are the best. Say it this time though, as if you really mean it. Have a look around at some of the amazing women that is in this room. Some of the amazing mums that's in this room. Some of the amazing ladies who are yet to be mums, but we celebrate and value and honour them today. So I want you to say it like you mean it today, men. You can look at your wife or your mum, whoever is here with you. Say it again and say it like you mean it. You are blessed and you are the best. Let me hear you. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Please have a seat. I'm just going to pray. Father, today we just want to celebrate. We want to celebrate on this Mother's Day, not just mothers, but we want to celebrate each and every single woman, lady who's part of Found Church. Father, we thank you for the important role they play within our church. We thank you for their example, for the way that they tirelessly work, for those who are mums, for the way that they look after their children, for the way that they just show us the way. And Father, I thank you that it's often our wives that correct us. It's often our wives that point us in the right direction if we're married, and we thank you for them. Father, we pray today for those who would love to be a wife, for those who would love to be a mum. Father, we pray that they will not seek their whole identity in that, but they'll realise that they're a daughter of the King, and you have great plans and purposes for them, that their beauty comes from within to the outside. And Father, I just thank you and praise you for every single lady, for every spiritual mum, for every grandparent that's connected to Found Church today. And Father, we just want to pray blessings upon them. We want to honour them. We want to lift them up and praise them today. And so, Father, we give you glory for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.